You're listening to the Geekcast Radio Network of podcasts.
We're going to turn Cybertron into a giant mud pit. The Beast Unleashed podcast.
This is Optimus Prime, and you are listening to All Things Transformers.
Hello, and welcome to All Things Transformers. I'm your host, Steve Megatron Phillips. Joining me is...
DFD on Mike.
And special guest...
Ryan D. Uneven Flow. There we go.
There you go.
Hey, I remember what my name was when I podcasted Transformers stuff.
Little known fact, man. Folks, I gave him that name.
Nah, anyway.
You jackass.
You threw you under the bus so hard.
He threw me under the bus former. Oh, God. So, yes, we are here, and the new Transformers Bumblebee Trailer 2 has come out. Wow. A Transformers live-action film I actually want to see, even though I've seen all of them except 5 and... Well, yeah, I've seen bits and pieces of 5, but...
I've seen it all.
I haven't seen it all the way through. I did not go to the theater to see last night.
It was like Transformers Goodnight.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was a bore.
Transformers Nightmares.
But, yeah, this new trailer actually looks impressive with a lot of the G1 aesthetics, plus the fact that we have Optimus Prime, Thundercracker, Ravage, Blitzwing, you get Bumblebee, Shockwave, Soundwave, Starscream. It's, yeah. All of the cons are done in their proper form, as is Prime and Bumblebee. So it's actually quite nice to see the callbacks to the Generation 1 series.
It's nice that Volkswagen and Hasbro finally worked out their shit.
That's because GM's not giving them any money. They're like, oh, we're not going to do the Camaro anymore.
Well, they also wanted to set it in the 80s. So.
Yeah, so they couldn't use that Camaro.
Yeah,
I don't know. So for me, I could care less about the aesthetics. I wasn't a fan of a lot of the aesthetics used in the Bay films. But, I mean, I know people who were. Mm-hmm. And to be blunt, art... and look and everything is very subjective. Having said all that, what I liked, or what at least excites me about it, is the camera work in terms of the action and characters are all central in frame in what we saw.
Mm-hmm.
Versus one of my great annoyances with modern action films, and especially the Transformers ones, is they use a lot of quick cuts, or they have action that goes on in the background or to the side of the screen. I could go on for about 1,000 hours on why Fury Road and The Raid are two of the perfect action films, but one of the reasons is, and the reasons they're beloved, is the fact that all of the action happens in the center of the frame. The camera doesn't move around much. It doesn't cut 10 times to cover up CGI or something like that. And from what little we see in the trailer, it looks like they're doing the same idea. They're actually following the characters as they move, which is, to me at least, a huge improvement.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I mean, one of the things that always annoyed me in the Bay films is, again, if you're trying to follow along with the action, you can't. The camera jumps around too much. Characters move around too much in between shots. It's very piecemeal. And that's it's something that gets thrown around at some of the Marvel movies as well, too. In their case, they're covering up for the fact that it's superheroes and human beings can't do a lot of this stuff. But with CGI, I've always wondered, you know, it's a computer-generated Transformer. You're just trying to kind of cheap out by not keeping them in frame. That always bugged me. Yeah. That you've got the CGI model anyway. If it can't hold up, then you're not doing your job right. So, let's put it in the center of the frame. Nah.
Yeah, I did notice that with the trailer that majority of the shots are all right in the middle of everything for every character. And I do appreciate that compared to the Michael Bay films. But again, to me, with the designs, it's not just because they stuck with the G1 designs. It's because I don't see all that robo kibble. So they look like just a garbled piece of mess that you can't tell what faction they actually are.
Yeah. It's just overall, I'd say, like, when I'm considering the problems, issues I have with the Bay movies, and this isn't just to completely crap on them. If people enjoy them, enjoy them. You're perfectly welcome to. It's still Transformers, and I still think they're enjoyable aspects, and I'm happy that people get into the franchise, however that happens. But, I mean, one of the things that I like in this is, yeah, that it's a much cleaner, and everything's a much rounder look.
Yeah.
Because of the aesthetic, yeah.
That's more so what I appreciate about it, is the fact that it's not as much of a garbled mess. Like, I understood it in the first film because they were kind of taking a chance and it was, you know, yay, we're in Transformers, but, like, they really didn't do anything with it beyond that.
Well, I mean, by the final ones, too, the effects, the visual effects in terms of the use of CGI was... I'm trying to figure out how to word this properly, but to just be blunt, it was boring. They failed to find inventive or interesting ways to use the CGI, and they continued the trend of moving away from the action pretty frequently, and yeah, I don't know. It's just filled with odd choices. The only other weird thing I have to say about the trailer, too, is I thought John Cena was supposed to be in this.
He is, briefly.
Well, he's a Sector 7 agent.
Oh, I didn't see him.
Really?
Yeah, there's a screenshot of him like about midway through the trailer.
Yeah. No, I think you're incorrect. You can't see him.
Oh. I can see him.
You can't see me. It's John's. Steve doesn't get it. It's John's catchphrase thing.
I was hoping somebody.
Like, Ryan, not a Mayhem Mike's episode. So no, I want to talk about the director of this film, of Bumblebee, a guy by the name of Travis Knight. So it's not Michael Bay, thank God. Travis Knight had his directorial debut 2 years ago with Kubo and the Two Strings.
Yeah.
He's directing Bumblebee, and then in 2019 he's directing something called the... No, he's not. He's producing and animating something called The Missing Link. In television, he was an animator on The PJs in 2000 and Gary and Mike in 2001. He did animation for Coraline and Paranorman in 2009 and 2012. I love that they're... And The Box Trolls in 2014 as well. I love that they're actually getting someone that's essentially new completely.
Yeah, he doesn't do a lot. Kubo and the Two Strings, very underrated.
Mm-hmm.
Film, though, it's solid.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't know. I like that. Yeah, I agree. I mean, to be perfectly honest, that formula it's worked pretty well for Marvel overall in terms of just hiring unknowns or people who haven't done an awful lot. And the only thing I was kind of on so far in terms of cast and production is one of the highlights for me in the Bay films was Steve Jablonski's work.
Yeah, and he's not on this. It's somebody by the name of Dario Marinelli.
Yeah.
So,
and who to be blunt, I'm not particularly familiar with. And, maybe they'll do a solid job on this. Now, it should be noted, he didn't work on the trailer music.
Yeah.
And I wasn't a huge fan of the trailer music, mostly because it kind of continues that trend of using the foghorn for major bits. Yeah, thanks,
yeah, it was
Inception.
A little much. Yep. Anything Inceptionalized is a bit much for me.
Wah, wah.
Anyway. Man, but yes, I'm just under the bus today.
Right. Yeah, I'm just happy that they're not Michael Bay. Like, he's kind of taken the rough edges of Michael Bay's stuff and then the G1 and kind of melded it and created this, you know, cleaner cut of Transformers that, for all intents and purposes, even in the trailer, looks more enticing than what we've been given over the past 3 to 4 films.
I'd agree. I mean, for my money, it's simply because of the camera work, and it looks like the special effects / stunt work is going to be more of a center stage, and I definitely prefer that. And yeah, I mean, we'll see. As I said on Twitter, though, pretty sure we've all been burned at one point or another by a trailer that looked really good or enticed us.
Oh, yeah.
And then you go see the movie and
yeah, like Star Trek Into Darkness.
Oh boy, here we go. Save that for Future Imperfect. All right, so the cast, I mean, outside of John Cena, I know no one out of the humans. So that's kind of interesting. So they're introducing us to a bunch of new actors for new roles. And thankfully, Agent Simmons is nowhere to be found.
I think he's in it.
He may have a cameo, but the cast list I'm looking at does not list him.
Where are you looking at it?
Wikipedia, where else?
Yeah, don't trust Wikipedia.
We knew this beforehand. We have actually interviewed two of the Decepticons that are going to be in this movie. David Soloff.
Angela Bassett?
What? No! Oh my god.
Peter Cullen?
I said Decepticons. Since when is Peter?
Yeah, he was in the last movie.
Oh, they. He was under a Quintesson spell. Anyway. David Soboloff, who is going to be the voice of Blitzwing, and Jess Harnell, who's going to be returning as the voice of Barricade. And silence. Somehow, someway, Martin Short got himself a voice role in this film. I don't know how the hell that happened.
Yeah, I don't know. So it should be noted, I mean, I kind of liked Barricade, at least from the first movie, but if they're going to do this as sort of a reboot, and obviously I have no problem with Arnell being used or anything like that, more than good enough to change his voice for the role if needed, but I'm not huge on doing a lot of callbacks to the Bay films. Like, if this indeed is going to be the start of a new set of movies, which it seems like they're going to do. I mean, at one point they clearly wanted this to be a prequel.
Yeah.
But after the last night underperformed, they kind of did a 180, and we'll see. I think they
decided to not greenlight any future films in the Transformers universe.
They have for now. I suspect it's to see how this does as well.
Yeah, and I know that they want to start their own new universe, and so if they started off fresh with this as the kind of starting point of the new universe being in the 80s, and then they can kind of push Mask and G.I. Joe and all of these others, you know that they're going to do it. It's just a matter of when.
Yeah, that worked out so well with IDW.
I'm not saying that they translate well. Like, I'm fine if they want to bring G.I. Joe into it, but because that's always kind of out in the comics.
See, that would be kind of cool if instead of Sector 7 in Bumblebee, it would be the Joe team.
Yeah, I'm just going to be blunt about this. I think I said this once on a podcast with you, Mike, but there's a reason Transformers has survived and is consistently on air. There's a reason that G.I. Joe, Mask, and these others are dead as a doorknob.
Yeah.
There's not a nice way to put it. I think I said this about the Gem film as well.
Oh, yeah.
Which is just, if you're going to try to pilfer an old property, just take the stuff that's the most popular. Yep. But the other stuff is not going to survive. And I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying there's a reason why there's not a lot of people clamoring for a Dino Riders live-action film. And in terms of the cast, by the way, I do want to point out, Haley Steinfeld's been in a bunch of films, but they're all of the... So I'm curious who this is going to be aimed at, because, you know, she's known for mostly younger films. She had brief roles in stuff like True Grit, and she was in Ender's Game, but for the most part, she's been in a lot of the teenage stuff.
Right.
That, you know, I don't watch. No.
Exactly.
I haven't seen it all. But, you know, like I said, I'm curious to see who it's aimed for. I think the trailers seem to kind of be tracking for a younger audience.
Well, yeah.
But do you notice how everything has kind of gone back to the G1 aesthetic in the recent couple of years? Between the Machinima series, the Cyberverse, and the Bumblebee movie?
I think there's elements of that. A lot of that, I feel like, is because most of them are taking story beats from IDW, which kind of revamped the G1 looks for a lot of the characters. I'm not a fan of the consistent reusing of the old aesthetics, because to be blunt, nostalgia is the enemy of quality. Mm-hmm. So,
which I'm not saying I don't enjoy the IDW designs, because they made them more functional with, you know, kind of taking it's again a nice meld between the robotic stuff of Michael Bay type of thing, so you can actually see the gears and all the, you know, the everything that would be mechanical about them, and having the shiny finishes of G1.
Yeah. I don't know. It's one of those things where between what IDW's got going on right now, currently, what the Power of the Primes trilogy was, and what Cyberverse is going to be. Cyberverse is something... I watched the first 10-minute episode on Hasbro's YouTube channel. I can immediately tell you it's not a show I'll be watching, because it's not a Transformers show for me at all in my mind.
I think that's the beauty of all this, is that there's something for everybody in each group. I think Siege is designed very much to appeal to the Generation 1 collectors again, and yeah, Cyberverse is pretty clearly tracking for a younger audience, and yeah, we'll see what Bumblebee tracks for. It hasn't been rated yet, if I remember correctly, either. I suspect it's going to get a G or PG at the highest.
Yeah.
It's definitely not going to be R.
No, oh no. No.
Yeah,
unless they want to bring Deadpool into the universe.
Bumblebee, I'm going to take this light pole and shove it straight up. Whoa.
That's just crazy.
but yeah, I mean, and then looking at like the Machinima series, I enjoyed more than what I have a feeling of like Cyberverse itself. Not saying that that's putting it high on a pedestal, because it's not great either. Especially because they were 5-minute episodes and a lot of the writing in it was subpar. I think that they're trying to recapture what they did with G.I. Joe Resolute years ago. Hasbro, and I don't think that it's working out that well. And I understand that Cyberverse is doing the 10-minute episodes, and that's kind of what modern animation does, which is unfortunate, because I actually enjoyed seeing the 22-minute episodes, but yeah, it's new generation. I guess they don't have the time or the attention span to stare at 22 minutes of a cartoon as opposed to 11. Granted, not saying that our stuff was any better, because there were episodes of things that 10 minutes could have easily been shoveled off the top. So,
Yeah, and let's... I'm not trying to take a cynical view with this, but let's be honest. A lot of our stuff growing up were 22-minute commercials for products.
True.
Obviously not everything. And I said before, earlier, that there's a reason Transformers has survived this long.
Yep.
Because for a lot of people, it was more than that. And I think for even some of the actors and the people on it, it was more than that. And that's what enabled it to survive. Whereas, yeah, there was definitely stuff from our era that was just... It was just designed to make you buy products.
Well, and I think, too, that it's... One of the nice things about it, too, is that... it has the ability to reinvent itself, whereas a lot of these really don't. They're kind of a one-trick pony, whereas, I mean, yeah, this is just transforming robots, but...
Yeah, which is the beauty to me of Transformers, that it's been something different so many times, and it can be something different for so many people. You know, I love that Beast Wars was completely different from Generation 1. Yes, they had cameos and that kind of thing, and it built on the story. But, you know, I like that there's something different. I like that it, to me, it just helps different people get into the series. It reminds me a lot of comic books, where you read a comic, and then a new writer takes over, and it's a very different style, or different focus, or different characters get focused on, that kind of thing. I really like that. It just, you know, if I'm not, it means if I'm not a fan of one arc or I don't like it that much, I can just go back to it in 6 months. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Not everything has to be geared towards me for 40 years.
Right, yeah.
I got a lot of stuff to watch and do, all right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We're important, man.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm like the same way. Like, for the first time in my entire lifetime, I have zero interest in the Transformers cartoon that's currently coming out or the Turtles cartoon that's currently coming out. It's not for me. And I still, like Ryan just said, we all have what we've had for our entire lifetimes at this point. Everybody has a piece of the Transformers fandom, whether it's IDW, whether it's Beast Wars, Beast Machines, G1, the Transformers the movie, the whatever, the old toys, the new toys, the animated toys, whatever it is, we all have a part of it. Like, not every single person has to jump on the bandwagon of whatever the next new Transformers thing is going to be.
That, and I don't understand the point of getting upset about it anymore. Like, one of my regrets from the TF Wire days is I look back at it now and I wish I was a little more positive about a lot of the things that, okay, fine, this isn't something I'm interested in, but there's going to be people who are interested in it, and there's nothing wrong with that. You know, it doesn't erase all the other stuff I have.
Yeah, I think I would think and I would hope that we have all evolved to this point at 2018 compared to 2007.
Let me finish
the thought really quickly.
Okay.
I would like to think, I'm not saying this is the thing, I would like to think from 2007 to right now in 2018 that we've all evolved beyond being whiny bitch forum posters arguing over which franchise is the best and saying our opinion is the be-all, end-all, no matter what anyone else thinks. I would like to think. That's why I've gotten this approach of the whole thing, like, everybody has their thing within the fandom. And, you know, just because I like Beast Machines doesn't mean Steve has to, or doesn't mean whomever else has to like it. They can not like it, or whatever. Like, I'm tired of trying to convince people why certain things in Transformers is a good thing.
Well, I was going to rebut that with saying that people, social media is basically the top tier attack of everything fandoms, but...
Oh, I agree with that, yeah.
Because we've said a lot of things, like, I mean, I've done it. I mean, many
times.
We've
all done it, yeah.
None of us are innocent doing it. But at the same time, like, yeah, that was how I felt at the time. And then, you know, I guess kind of looking back at it in many iterations of every one of these shows later. I mean, we've had multiple Ninja Turtles, we've had multiple Batman, we've had multiple Transformers, Star Trek, whatever. And then a lot of old shows are just coming back now. I mean, or either being revived, rebooted, or whatever. And our generation and whomever else that happened to watch the originals or that iteration, which, let's face it, those weren't the originals either in some cases, depending on the shows. People just, I don't know, need to kind of let it go.
Well, there's a concept of ownership within fandom, unfortunately, and it causes pretty much all of the toxicity, whether it be, Steve, you don't know which planet they went to in Star Trek The Next Generation, episode 38, set in the second season, so you're not a true fan. Like, no, there's no ownership of these franchises, and I'm not trying to be cynical here, just trying to be honest when I say the franchises are owned by the companies that produce them.
Right.
You may not like it as fans, and you may feel that, oh, well, we're the ones that keep it around with our money. You potentially are one of the people, yes, but you're not the be-all, end-all. Like, this concept
if you're Bill Gates and paid the bill for it, then, you know.
Yeah, or if you're Amazon and you bought The Expanse to save it, then okay, fine. But if you are, screw it. If you were a part of Comicsgate and going, well, I kept the industry alive this time. No, you didn't. You're just one of the people that bought comics. And now there's a whole crap load of other people who buy them still. It doesn't.
Yeah. I mean,
Everything goes through cycles. By the way, this reminds me, I picked up found a really old magazine with the Punisher on the cover. Don't worry, this is going to come back. With the Punisher on the cover, and inside is an article talking about how comics are going to die because they're moving away from the fans. And this was written in 1985. So this crap, unfortunately, about true fans and, oh, it's gonna die if things change, has unfortunately been around for 30 plus years, I now realize.
Yeah, I mean, and I'm to the point now, whereas 9-10 years ago I wasn't here, I'm to the point now, I have what I enjoy. If I say something to somebody, hey, check this out, if they check it out and they like it, great. If they check it out and they say, no, it's not for me, fine, I don't care. Like, Steve,
you just block them on Twitter. Oh, sorry.
No, I very rarely do anything on Twitter anymore. I'm not a Twitterer anymore these days. Anyway,
I like Twitter.
So Steve is a Dreamwave guy. He's fine with having his Dreamwave comics.
I like Marvel, too.
Right, no, I understand that, and I'm saying you're mainly a Dreamwave guy and you like the Marvel stuff, and I've tried to convince him to at least try certain things in the IDW universe, and he's resistant a little bit, but like, I'm going to point him in directions where he doesn't have to read every single issue to get every single story.
Just read more than meets the eye. It's the best Transformers fiction we're probably ever going to get.
That's, let's see, 57 and 25. That's over 75 issues he would have to read.
That's not a lot.
Point him
that's
in
still
the
less than Marvel.
True.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about the sum total is 16 trades. That's not a whole lot, and it actually has an ending.
True.
Which the Marvel run didn't get until IDW finished it.
Yep. Well, yeah, about that. Oh.
They were better
should have
just
alone. Stayed unfinished.
Well, anyway. I just attributed the bad ending to that's why we got G2, and then that didn't really get an ending either.
Yeah, I wasn't a fan of it either.
I liked it because the visuals more so than anything else.
Yeah, I don't know. And then Marvel UK actually got a bunch of endings, and then Dreamwave just kind of petered out. To be fair, with the Dreamwave stuff, man, I'm going off topic, but whatever.
It's still Transformers.
Well, in the end, I have actually, if you take a really close look at all the pictures of my trades, you'll notice that I don't have the Dreamwave stuff anymore. I actually sold it off. I'd be curious to see where it went. I mean, I wasn't a fan of especially the first arc. which was really sort of basic, but the second one was improved. However, I could have done without the sixth issue of it being, holy crap, let's dump all the exposition in one comic.
Yeah, and then they had the ongoing.
Yeah, the ongoing, I don't think it was bad. I would have, like I say, I would have been curious to see where it went.
It was going to go towards Unicron, because Shockwave was running the show, and they had Ultra Magnus without his armor.
No, I know. That was, yeah. Well, that was at the end of the second arc, and then the ongoing would begin, which mostly took place on Earth. They started with the Sunstorm arc.
The War Within was pretty good, too.
Yep. But a lot of the concepts got used by Furman when he established the IDW universe. Mm-hmm. IDW was fun because there's different phases, though. I mean, phase one was the Furman years, which are reasonably good, not great, not perfect, but they were solid, and it's a really good setup for the universe. Then you have phase two, which is All Hail Megatron and the Costa years, which need to be excised from... Oof. I mean, if it wasn't for Matt Fraction's run on Punisher War Journal and some other real bad runs, it would be probably one of the worst I've read in all of comics, because, ooh. Sweet joy. Oh, God. Well, no wonder you're against the IDW stuff. It improves way a lot better when John Barber takes over.
That's why I said I plan on, if I'm going to have Steve check out the IDW stuff, I'm starting him at Death of Optimus Prime, and then just like me, he can make a path. He can either go More Than Meets the Eye or Robots in Disguise.
We'll start at the Wreckers, Last Stand of the Wreckers.
Okay, there is that, but that's a self-contained thing, though. Like,
but I mean, the Garrus 9 stuff and Overlord obviously play pretty big in the other series.
Yeah. Very true.
Hey, do you like storylines with obscure Transformers that make them awesome? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I barely knew who Overlord was before that. Anyway, so back to actual Transformers news and things about the show.
Yes. How about the IDW December 2018 solicitations? There's only one thing I'm going to read off of here, because a mutual friend of ours is actually doing this. Transformers Historia by Chris McFeely. Art is going to be various people. Sarah Peter Dorochet is on color, covers. The year was 2000. Yeah, I love that cover. The year was 2005. The treacherous Decepticons and their heroic Autobot counterparts descended upon the Earth and unleashed a new era of Transformers comics through IDW Publishing. 13 years and hundreds of issues later, that universe has come to a close. Join Transformers historian Chris McFeely on a guide distilling the past 13 years of publishing history and remember the masterful storytelling of the first IDW Transformers run.
I'm extremely excited for that.
Yeah, I cannot wait. Like, I'm actually probably going to get this for Steve for Christmas. This way he can look at all the IDW stuff without having to.
Yeah,
well, I know who Chris McFeely is, and I've liked his, it's more enticing.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I like everybody that's working on it, so I think it's going to be quality, so makes me happy.
Absolutely.
I'll bring up one, too. Okay. That I don't know if you guys have discussed on the show, but I've been paying a lot of attention to it, and that is the upcoming Transformers trading card game. For anyone who doesn't know, I'm pretty heavy, I'm heavy everything because I'm huge, but... I'm 6'3".
Stop it.
Oh, sorry. Anyway. But, no, I'm pretty heavy board gamer and into... I've done some of the collectible card games and that kind of thing. So I've been paying attention to it. I've been looking at each of the cards, trying to figure out how the game's played, and definitely interested in that. They've continued to sort of trickle out more and more of the cards that are coming out. Like this week, recently, we just had Dark Mount, Ransack, and others shown off. I'm really excited about it. I'm normally not a big fan of art being reused for cards. Mm-hmm. But they're reusing a lot of art that hasn't been used before, and they're doing a lot of IDW stuff. They're doing art that's been used on Transformers packaging or just a lot of different outlets, so it gives each of the cards kind of has a different feel. I actually kind of like that they're not all the same art style.
Right.
And yeah, from what I've seen of the actual card game in terms of trying to figure out the mechanics and that kind of thing, which is hard until you actually pick up a board game or card game. But I don't know. It looks like it should be pretty deep. Should be interesting. I'm hoping they find a way to make everybody useful, because nothing sucks more than when you're a fan of a character and they're terrible in that game.
Yeah.
Oh man, I really love Cliff Jumper. Can I use him? Nah, he's the worst card. Ah, damn it. So yeah, we'll see. Crazy. I'm excited for that. That's coming out very soon, actually. So.
Yeah, I had heard about it, but I hadn't really paid that much attention to it.
I didn't even know it was coming out, so.
Oh, well, like I said, yeah, I'm a board gamer, and so I pay attention to these sort of things. There's that. There's been, there are rumors / people trying to get a Transformers miniatures game off the ground, which I would absolutely be down for, although it would probably bankrupt me. But still, no, I'm excited for this because board games are something that the Transformers franchise, board and card games, for the most part, have not really touched. And I feel like it's about time that they get into it, especially with the resurgence of both of them. I mean, board games are everywhere now,
yep.
And deservedly so. It's really nice. So.
I just hope they don't turn it into Skylanders.
Well, yeah, that would be my fear with the miniatures game, if they're to sell them individually, or it turns into something like, I would think, more akin to Warhammer 40K,
yeah,
where there's just hundreds and hundreds of miniatures, because, like it or not, Transformers lends itself to that pretty easily. I mean, there are close to 900 characters in G1, so it wouldn't take a lot for them to do that.
Yep. There's 120 alone in Season 4.
Yeah, so I'd prefer they don't do that, but I'm excited for it. I like the idea of Transformers being in merchandise it hasn't been in, and I'm not talking about shampoo and stuff, which it was in recently.
Yeah, I saw that. I'm like, oh, come on.
Wasn't there cologne at one point, too?
I think so, yeah. I don't know. Here, smell like Megatron from K-On or whatever. I don't know.
Oil.
I mean, smelling like oil is pretty easy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just go to any auto body shop.
Any Autobot shop? What?
Auto body shop.
Autobotly shop?
Yeah, but no, Sarah's cover for Transformers Hysteria is amazing.
Hysteria. It's not hysteria.
Hysteria. That's what I said. Hysteria. Not hysteria.
That's what you said? Anyway.
No, I didn't.
That's it. Stop the recording. Go back and listen.
No. Oh, boy. Yeah, I can't wait for that to come out. It's going to be so fun. I'm actually glad that there's going to be an ending to the IDW universe because, like,
well, we've talked about it on the show that, yeah, it doesn't happen often, period. That,
yeah, no, it doesn't.
I like the concept of it. Yeah.
Yep.
Not to mention ends essentially as planned. Certainly it's been sped up for some of them, i.e. Roberts had to cut a couple of arcs short. But still, I mean, I think I'd prefer that to either a non-ending or it just goes on so long that the quality dips. Like, this era, since Barb took over as editor, the quality is just so high that I like this before it turns into, you know,
Energon or Armada or Cybertron.
Yeah. Well, I was going to suggest, I was figuring out, like, some not good comic runs, but then in my head I decided, you know what, I've been negative enough, I don't need the name anymore.
The only other thing, and I hope they fix this, they have not said anything about it, the only other thing I don't like about the new Bumblebee movie Give him a damn voice already. I understand it's supposed to be a prequel and all that. It's supposed to take place in 87.
Well, it was supposed to be a prequel. Now we don't know. They're looking to kind of separate themselves from the previous ones. But yes, I tend to agree. I'm not a big fan of the Bumblebee can't talk.
Yeah, you've scenario. Got plenty of people that could voice him. You can get what's his name that voiced him a couple of times in the Bay movies. You can get Dan Gilvezan. You can get Will Friedle, who voiced him in Prime and in Robots
in Disguise
from 2015. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I just think it limits what you can do with a character in terms of an arc and in terms of overall development. So.
Exactly, because you're relying on the humans to translate for him.
You're also relying on body language of a computer-generated character, which is normally a little better in terms of, you know, you look at everyone from Andy Serkis as Gollum to...
Snoke.
Brain freeze. No, I was going to go, there we go, Cesar from Planet of the Apes, where it certainly works, but you're talking about motion-captured humans. Bumblebee is going to be a computer-generated character essentially from scratch, so I'm not as sold on body language and expressions working. Also, you're talking about a character that doesn't have your standard mouth, so the eyes are going to have to do a lot of work in those.
Yeah. Absolutely. Anything else we want to bring up, guys?
I don't think so.
My lunch? Oh, I'm sorry.
No.
Hey, that was at the thought of the Cyberverse, so.
Yeah, exactly.
No,
I haven't seen it, so I don't know. I'll watch it at some point.
It's all right. It's not, again, it's not my cup of tea, so I'll stick with my Beast Wars DVDs.
I mean, it's not aimed at me, but yeah, I wouldn't mind checking it out. I just enjoy the franchise. So to be fair, too, the series Rescue Bots. Hey, there we go. Yep. Rescue Bots is not aimed towards me, but I can find it enjoyable or sometimes throw it on in the background or something like that. So,
yeah. Exactly. All right, folks. The next time you'll hear us, it'll either be Ryan and I or myself and multiple other people who have seen Transformers the movie one night only here in the States. Apparently, Canada gets a whole month of it in theaters. Thursday, the 27th of September. I've got my tickets. I'm actually going to be meeting up with our good buddy Ender from Radio Free Cybertron Days. So, I mean, I might have Ender back here to record a segment for AGTF live in person. I don't know. I don't know what's going to be going on. Steve, what have you got going on?
Always Future Imperfect and Altered Geek episodes.
Absolutely. Ryan does whatever podcast I tell him to show up for, so that's what he's doing.
Wow.
Hey, you threw me under the bus earlier.
That at least makes me way better than most of your partners.
Hey!
What, it's true.
Wow.
Shameless jab.
Close this out, Steve, before we have to get some energon out and whatever.
Yeah. So, until next time...
Get out of here. Yes.
That's all you got, Megatron? That's lame.
Blow it out your exhaust port.
Podcast good!
Transform and roll out.
Rodimus Prime over and out.
Till all are one.